Jimmy boy, are you in there, big boy? Big boy, you want to come outside and go to the Yankee game with Uncle Roger?
You're not my uncle.
All right, Jimmy, we'll all be by tomorrow, and we're going to get this game in. We're going to go see the Yankees.
I know what you did, Roger.
All right, well, you know what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is take you to the Yankee game, so I'm looking forward to it. Hey, everybody. Yes, welcome back to the Paid Church Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by my great co-host, the great Chris Schaefer. This is a podcast where we talk Google Ads, strategy, Google Ads, PPC, the business of PPC. And if you're a Google Ads professional, if you're an in-house marketer, if you're a business owner that advertises on Google Ads and you want to improve your performance and get actionable advice, this is the podcast for you. Welcome to the Paid Search Podcast. Chris, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm absolutely fabulous. Absolutely nothing wrong. There's no emotion other than joy in my heart. And I'm glad to be here and talk about Google Ads and nothing else. Because that's what we're here for. Guys, you 90% of your other podcasts you're subscribed to, they're all freaking out. They're going nuts. But we're going to dispense some solid advice to put things back in place. This is the reliable paid search podcast. Double what we used to be. During this time of crisis, we have doubled our output instead of pulling back. Guys, it doesn't get any better. And look at the price you're paying. Nothing. Nothing. Man, just reliability at a price you can afford.
And Chris, it's not easy, you know, just to get a little Patreon on the main show. It's not easy to come in here two times a week and keep producing like this. But you know how we do it, Chris? We just completely suppress our feelings and emotions, and we get in here and we handle business.
Yeah.
And doesn't that feel good at the end of the day? Doesn't that feel good?
Literally, the south side of my house is on fire. There's fire trucks. Whole neighborhood's burning down. And I'm here totally calm to talk to you guys because that's where my priorities are. All right, well, speaking of
Hold on. Can you take me through this baby blue shirt? I've never seen it before. Oh. What's the history? I see 2012. Is this like a CrossFit shirt that you usually don't wear or something? And by the way, why did the sleeves go down? I've seen long sleeve. I've seen short sleeve. I've never seen half bicep sleeve. these sleeves like cut off halfway through his bicep.
There's
what is that
nothing
about?
Wrong with these sleeves. They're perfectly fine. Okay.
Whoa.
I'm not like flexing. That. I'm just showing you my sleeve. This is a great shirt. Jason, the name that shall not be spoken has kept me from going to the store and trying on new clothes. So I'm having to rotate old clothes that maybe I haven't worn yet. This is it literally is 2012. They're like, this shirt's 8 years old now. So I'm pulling out shirts.
It's just been sitting in your closet.
I haven't worn it because I'm not going to wear that old shirt. I have much newer things. Now it's come to this. Recycling shirts
that are
honestly, too small.
For myself and anyone watching on YouTube, like, I'm just looking at the lower right corner of my screen, like, completely. Like, I can't look anywhere except for that bicep that's poking out. Your left, my right. I mean, that thing is just asking to be let free.
Let free.
So, honestly, maybe it's a little distracting, Chris. I think what you can do next time is a normal short sleeve, a long sleeve, if you prefer that, even though I don't think that's your thing. Or no sleeves.
No sleeves.
No sleeves is fine. Then guns are out all day. But it's something about the little one just poking out there. It's a little distracting.
Well, I'm sorry to distract you. Well, try to stay.
Why don't you take my mind off things, and then we'll get into the perfect Google Ads account checklist.
Let me take your mind off of things and give you perspective on what's important. And I want to tell you about Optio.com. Optio is an online tool designed to help you get things done faster in Google Ads. They are the smarter way to manage AdWords accounts. Okay, this tool has all the necessary features to help you get things done faster. Let me just give you one example about one thing that I love. Jason and I talked to a lot of people in our many years of managing Google Ads and other managers, agencies. And one thing we hear a lot is people say, you know, how do you manage what you've done? You know, so too much later, you don't forget that you added those bid optimizations, or that you added this keyword. You don't remember why you added that keyword or this or that. Guys, there is a note system in Google Ads, but it's a bit basic. Optio answers the question that everybody's been wanting to help you manage and put notes into your campaign. It has what they call an integrated change history. You can put notes on your account and note by day what you did, what these changes were for, what to watch for, and put an integrated change history notes into your account so that you can make those notes to refer back to them. Beautiful system, just one example of the many things that the tool does for you. And the great news is they are upping their game too. We've been upping our game, they're upping theirs. We now have a 2-month free trial. That's double the time to be able to take advantage of this tool for free at optio.com/psp2. Special URL, special treatment, special day. Just use the little chat box. There's a little chat box that pops up on that page. Tell them you want the 2-month trial, and they'll give it to you because you're a paid search podcast listener. So check it out, Optio, OPTEO.com/PSP2.
Thanks, Chris. And we want to make sure you all are subscribed to another great podcast about PPC and Google Ads. It's all about Google Ads. It's called Google Ads Strategy with Kyle Solarud. But if you go to your podcast app and just search Google Ads Strategy, you should be able to find it and subscribe. Kyle's been putting out a lot of value-packed information on his podcast, and these are mostly short, bite-sized episodes about 10 minutes long. And then sometimes he interviews other Google Ads professionals, and those shows are a bit longer, so it's a good mix. We've mentioned Kyle's AdLake software suite on the show before, and this podcast is from the same Kyle. He's got Google Ads software, Google Ads training, and he also runs an agency that specializes in Google Ads and YouTube ads. So the stuff he talks about on his podcast is stuff he has a lot of experience with and from all angles. So just search Google Ads Strategy and you should be able to find Kyle's podcast and subscribe. I've gone through some of the recent episodes of our show, recent episodes of Kyle's podcast. He's got great content on there. And again, he kind of sees it from all angles, and we recommend you guys subscribe to Google Ads Strategy with Kyle Solarud today. It's a great podcast. So Chris, we are finishing our Google Ads perfect account checklist today. Mm-hmm. Why don't you take us through a little, I don't know, how is the perfect account checklist sitting with you? Are you inspired? Are you kind of re-examining your thought process about accounts? Do you think it's realistic? How is it sitting with you?
I think from what we've discussed, we started off with keywords. We talked about brand campaigns, search campaigns, competitors. We've talked about settings and budgets and networks. We've talked about ad groups and extensions, conversions, remarketing. And I think every bit of it is good advice for a campaign out there. I don't think, you know, looking back, I don't think I would apply every single bit to every campaign, because sometimes it's just restrictions due to budget or industry, or it's just not a good investment for some things to do. For example, YouTube, you know, you may not have the assets to even be able to do a YouTube campaign like that. So, but overall, if you have a campaign that checks these boxes and it is able to do it efficiently and it still works within the internal goals of the campaign, I think it's beautiful. I mean, I love it. I realize that we've provided it in a very long form message. You know, it's taken us multiple hours to get through all of this, but I'll tell you, I don't think checkboxes or, you know, checklists really tell the story of such a convoluted, complex type of perfect strategy idea. You can't just put it in a PDF and say, here's what you do. It needs to be explained because there's always meaning behind every decision that you make.
Yeah, Chris, I think a cool graphic, and this would take forever to make, but some kind of flowchart thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay, if the advertiser wants more brand awareness, go this road. If they love their cost per lead and they don't care about cost per lead because they offer such a valuable service compared to the overall cost, go down this road for more volume. So that's the way I'm looking at it. It's just an overall kind of checklist that I'm going to refer to. And there maybe will be one account in all of time that I that I'm able to do every single one of these to the extent that we're talking about. It might be my own campaign, I don't know. But there will be places for tons of different advertisers I work with to implement some of these strategies that are a good fit for them, and then at least examine the ones that they don't think are a good fit and see if they can become a good fit, if they think about things differently, and if they're maybe more educated on conversions, remarketing, whatever the topic is. So, Chris, we're gonna finish up our checklist today, and we've kind of covered our bread and butter: keywords, bids, conversions, direct lead generation. That's kind of our bread and butter. Now we're kind of branching out a little more into brand awareness and marketing. We're going to be talking about non-remarketing display in YouTube, landing pages, recommendations tabs, and possibly some other things. Now, Chris, non-remarketing display in YouTube, this is generally like display.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the words brand awareness. 10% of our audience just
turned like off. Yeah.
Glazed over because people, obviously those words have been abused. Like, no, we're not going to use an analogy in that situation. That word brand awareness, it's been overused and abused. But I will say this, Chris, I watch YouTube a lot. I watch the same channels a lot. I even watch our videos a lot. I see the same advertisers on different channels, like including ours. I know about people's businesses, extremely familiar with them based on their YouTube ads. Now, have I become a customer of these businesses? Not really, but it can be effective for brand awareness because I know about a number of different businesses that I had never been exposed to before. And now if I think about their industry or their service or product, they're the first thing I think of. So how do you square that circle, Chris? People maybe not that jazzed up or excited about quote unquote brand awareness combined with the fact that I am aware of brands. Do you experience that dichotomy as well?
I think when it comes to brand awareness, I like the idea of the flow chart because the only way that I feel that I would do it is if we hit a yes on all those other flow chart items. Do they have a search campaign? Yes. Do they have remarketing? Yes. Are we hitting good search impression share? Do we have a good response on conversion rates? Are we at least hitting goals on return on ad spend? Stuff like that. If we're hitting all those boxes, then I feel like brand awareness, yes, it can provide a boost. It has to be done appropriately. I don't think that you can just somehow think that you can, you know, spread your message across tons and tons, millions and billions of channels out there. You know, I mean, you've seen the total impression volumes if you were to target the travel industry, right? I was just looking at it the other day. If you were to target the in-market travel industry for the display network, it's between 10 billion and 1 trillion impressions a week. A week. So, I mean, you have to take it in small bites and educate.
Yeah, you don't have the money for that.
Yeah, there's no reason chance to do it. You're not going to do it. Nobody's out there is going to do that because in reality, not everyone is going to respond to the message. So your best bet is to focus on the things that will work. So yes, I do think it provides a boost. I would say my favorite types of customers to use brand awareness are on basically clients that work in any kind of household, right? E-commerce usually works well if it's an e-commerce product that pretty much anybody could buy. It doesn't specifically apply to a certain demographic. If it's a home service in a specific area, you know, that's usually pretty good. If it's a type of car service, that's usually pretty good because the point is if just about anybody within range can buy this product, and especially if they're local, it usually makes sense, and there is a somewhat of an uplift.
I see where you're going with that, and you're kind of comparing it to the TV commercials in the sense that, like, I see what you're doing because I'm thinking now of the biggest kind of TV advertisers locally I'm thinking of. I think of an HVAC company. I think of a furniture store company, and those are, like, local brands that everybody knows, and it works because everybody in the metro has HVAC, basically. Not everybody, but most people, a lot of people. Furniture, everybody buys furniture. So they can reach everybody with their TV ads. Now, the goal should be you should be able to do that same strategy of reaching a lot of people and getting brand awareness for your target customer. For those companies, it happens to be almost everybody, but and that's why they do TV. But for Google Ads and display and YouTube, it should be you can do that kind of awareness, get in front of people over and over, but get in front of a targeted group of people. So it shouldn't matter if you're an overall consumer business where everyone in the metro hires you. If 10 businesses in each major metro are in your B2B category and you offer services to just 10 businesses across the country, maybe 1,000 businesses total, you should be able, the way it should work is you should be able to get in front of those 1,000 businesses, have a little bit of slack, and like you'll waste some money on some non-relevant, but it'll be so relevant in terms of getting in front of those people that it should be worth it. Now, that's the way it should work, Chris.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And you know I'm right.
It should.
It should work that way.
But ask me what industry I immediately shy away from when it comes to brand awareness. It's B2B, business to business. I mean, if a business to business medical or business to business software company or something like that says, hey, we want to do some brand, we want to find people that don't know about our software, but are kind of looking for it, might maybe interested in it, you know, shop owners or business owners of this kind, this age. I don't say, hey, a display campaign. No, absolutely not. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use a search campaign with higher funnel search terms. I'm going to be looking for symptom problems, symptom searches, you know,
these are, you know, be- what the thing is, Chris, I do see these B2B companies where I'm a target customer. They do get in front of me. And what I'm always trying to figure out in my head is, are they just that amazing at display, or am I on remarketing and I'm just not realizing it? Or alternatively, are they doing display where they are getting super targeted people like myself, and it feels super targeted to me because I'm the target, but they're also getting a huge range of other people, say, in not the Google Ads space, but the overall marketing space. And like, maybe it's not cost effective. That's the thing I'm always trying to figure out. And I think the question to ask
is it a big company? Is it a big company?
Yeah.
So the odds are that they probably just have a really big budget and they're not precisely targeting. They're just moderately targeting with a very large budget.
You know what I was hearing a guy talk about on business news this week was he was saying that a lot of social media and Google Ads, pay-per-click advertisers, a lot of venture capital-backed companies who are in the business of having goals of increasing their customer base so they can then raise more money and have a more impressive revenue number for future investors, they're more in the business of growing their customer list and growing their revenue. They're not focused on profitability. And so display, even if it's not profitable in the short term, might make sense for a lot of people like that. Because like you're saying, bigger companies, venture funded, they have different goals than the kind of $1,000 to $5,000 a month people we work with. To a large extent, we work with much larger budgets. I could make you cry right now if I told you about a budget, Chris. But generally, we do a lot of work with the smaller budgets. And those people are not interested in venture-backed investors and all that kind of stuff. They're interested in, did they make more money than they lost this month?
Right.
And they have to focus on profitability. So that's where I think a lot of those big advertisers are, why I'm seeing them feel so targeted, is because they can just blow a bunch of money at it.
Yeah, I think to put a cap on it, I would say this. Let's say you did it. Let's say you went ahead and did the brand awareness. You weren't really sure whether you're B2B, B2C, whatever. You just did it. Let me fast forward to the conversation we have 6 months later when you're reassessing the budget and should we continue doing it. Let me, in a nutshell, tell you how the whole meeting goes with your manager, with your Google Ads manager, all that kind of stuff. You're going to say, well, things went a little better. I mean, they were kind of bad here, good here. I don't know. What do you think? It's going to be a lot of like, yeah, I feel like it helped. I feel like it helped. It seems like things are better than when we didn't do it. Right? That's usually kind of the thing, you know, or there's so indistinguishable in the numbers that you can't even really say that it's better or worse. It's just kind of the same. So most of the time, it usually ends up being a wash. That's my experience. You know, maybe I'm just bad at it.
Chris,
but that's
I love to track things, and it's like with display, and if you're getting in front of people in market, can you even do a time on site duration goal conversion tracking? Because isn't the goal brand awareness to get in front of people,
right,
and get on their mind?
Not even click.
And so a lot of them won't click. And then a lot of them, even if they click, they're not at that moment in the buying process where they're ready to invest time in learning about your product. But there is value from getting seen.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you quantify that into some kind of trackable metric other than we spent this amount of money and got this amount of impressions? It's very different to do, I would say, mm-hmm. than the traditional lead form tracking. So this might be a thing where your goal tracking is overall revenue, overall customer numbers. So how you track it, it's going to be different for everybody. But Chris, let's just walk through some of the goals, because I do think a perfect Google Ads account, I really do think this should be running for brand awareness. I really do think it should. There's so much opportunity there to kind of do a lot of targeting, to experiment with a lot of targeting, to the point where, like, how can you call it perfect if you're not taking advantage of these potentially super low cost per click, low cost opportunities? So I think you should be running for brand awareness. How you measure that, I think I just have to think about a lot more.
Yeah.
I don't have a good answer for that. I just don't. But I think you should be doing that. So that said, Chris, if I was like your client and I was like, Chris, we have to do brand awareness in addition to remarketing, in addition to search, what kind of options would you walk me through? And then what would your preference be as a very lead search focused Google Ads manager in terms of branching out into brand awareness?
Yeah. Honestly, the conversation would first, I would push back, because I would say a perfect Google Ads campaign does not include brand awareness unless, like I said, it checks the boxes of good search impression share, you're getting good, you know, conversion metrics. I don't think that you just apply brand awareness without at least hitting those metrics first. So first of all, I would say no, don't do it. But let's say you are hitting those. I mean, you have to have enough budget and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, what you're going to end up having to do is, what I think I would probably do is put 5-10% of the budget into it and sample at a small amount. You know, I'm going to take as little as I can, because in the end, I'd say 90% of my clients don't need it and I don't want to do it. Because 90% of my clients are typically underfunded with Google Ads. Most of the time, they don't have enough money. I'm trying to convince them to spend more on their search. I definitely don't want to leech from my search campaign and put it into brand where I have absolutely no KPI beyond just impressions and clicks. You know, I mean, I don't want to do it. So in the end, it's not my perfect campaign or perfect account. It's not in my spreadsheet unless they hit all those other checkpoints.
Right. Now, Chris, I would say there's one little hack here, one little like guru secret, if you will.
Okay.
One little ninja activity.
Oh, don't say ninja. I'm going to throw up.
Throwing out buzzwords. So, Chris, I think there's one little way you can kind of branch that divide. So you can target keywords, and our understanding of that is you tell Google what keywords you want to target on display, and they pick content that matches those keywords, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Topics, you target different topics. Audiences, you target affinity or people in market.
Right.
And then placements, you target exact
sure.
links or websites or videos or YouTube channels. I think the way to kind of branch the divide, and this, I am thinking brand awareness, you got to have brand awareness if it's perfection. But another way to look at display is to look at everything you do in display, no matter if you do audiences, topics, keywords, whatever. It's a way to get to a very advanced targeted placement list.
Okay.
To me, I think that's kind of the secret to display from a search-focused advertiser, is building out a never-ending process and getting to the point where you have a placement list, direct placements. You can control exactly what pages, what websites, what videos, what YouTube channels show your ads. To me, that's the most control you can have on the display network outside of remarketing.
It's true, yeah.
And this is not often, Chris, but I have seen situations where we got search-like performance on extremely targeted placements because they were so relevant. And they were so relevant that people saw the display ads on those placements. They clicked on the display ads and they go, oh, this is exactly what I was looking for. And I'm going to call in. I'm going to fill out a lead form and get more information and become a lead because it was that hyper relevant with a placement. It almost was like they were doing a search because maybe they did a search, they got to a placement page, and then it's just so spot on. We're getting conversions from it. That's rare, but it does happen. And given the cost per click differences on display versus search, it can be really, really fruitful when it happens. But it's very hard to do, and you can't really do it, I don't think, unless you invest some time and budget in general display strategies trying to find those placements. So maybe you could do like topics about this topic or keyword targeting about these keywords. Look at the placements you're showing up on. 95% of them, you might be like, ugh, what's that? Or, yeah, that could be relevant, but I'm not really digging it. And then 5% of them, you could be like, whoa, that's an amazing site. That's exactly my target audience. Think about it this way, Chris. B2B softwares, what if it's a review site of certain softwares for that industry? That's a pretty good placement.
Sure.
Because someone on that page is looking for softwares that you're advertising for. So, but then here's the kicker, Chris. Placements often are very low volume.
Yep.
Sometimes.
Yep.
So you have to find a number of them, or you have to get lucky and find a very high volume one. So it's very difficult to do. But if someone tells me they have the perfect Google Ads account, and I get in there and I go, what are you doing for brand awareness? And they go, we're not doing brand awareness. And then we have the same 15-minute debate we just had. I can see both sides of that argument. Mm-hmm. But if I go, where's your placements campaign, your direct placements on display and or YouTube, where you've been curating this list over years and you're getting direct leads from it? And they go, oh, we don't know what that is. I physically hurt them, Chris. I punched them in the nose and I said, don't tell me you have the perfect Google Ads account and waste my time if you don't have that. So I think that's valid. If we're talking about perfection, I really do.
It's a good argument. I've learned over these years that your meetings are extremely violent. I'd really like to see one of your meetings. You do a lot of...
No, I work virtually for clients around the world.
You're right.
That's what I've got going for me. Yeah, I don't do in-person meetings.
So that's why you've gone virtual, is because so many of your in-person meetings ended in fights.
I did it once, Chris, locally with the Martial Arts Academy, and I tried to do what I was talking about, and I actually got the bad end of that stick. So
yeah, don't beat up on...
Took me a few months to recover my face and all that, but then I started doing virtual meetings.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Zoom and YouTube Hangout, Google Hangouts and all these technologies and that everyone's talking about these days, Slack and all that, they should have some kind of option, like a little device, like a webcam that you put on your computer that's like pepper spray or something like that. And if you get so mad with your partner that you're talking to,
you can spray them.
You can click a button that says pepper spray, and then you can spray them right in the face with a weapon and hurt them. And it could be like a mutual trust thing. Like, okay, we're going to get on this. You're going to screen share call me, or you're going to video call me, and it better be so important and so relevant.
I'm going to hurt you.
That just know both of us have the option to pepper spray each other. And then that way we're not going to be wasting time with these video conference apps as we all work from home more. So I think that is something that needs to be built into the system. I think any reasonable business person can agree with that.
Absolutely. Totally logical approach. I like it. Let's move on to landing pages.
No, let's talk recommendations, right? Do you not buy this? No, you can have it. Have the win, Chris. Have the win. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the self.
Literally, landing
Rachel,
pages.
If you want to edit this on audio, we can edit it. And then on YouTube, they can have a little fun making fun of the big guy. Okay. Have fun. Take the win.
All right.
Chris.
Landing pages.
I'm out of order. Take the win.
Okay. All right.
Take the win.
Landing pages win. Are next. I'm honestly surprised that you even put landing pages in because
Why? This is, Chris, this is not like get good results. This is a checklist to use when you are trying to make a good campaign, a good account, great. This is perfection here. This is not everyday run-of-the-mill stuff.
Well,
this is perfection.
Well, let me say my typical my typical discussion about landing pages. I do not think landing pages are absolutely necessary. I do not think a perfect campaign has landing pages. If you have a website and your service pages, product pages, whatever, are clean, good, focused, they have call to action, they have lots of relevant content, they load quickly, I love it. I don't want you to create landing pages for me. You spent $30,000 on a beautiful website. I don't want you to do it. So when it comes to landing pages, that's my thing. So, and I know you put that in the list, but I have nothing else to say because here, I know you put that, it's like the third item down and I'm jumping to it, but that's all I have to say because when it comes to landing pages, I say the same thing every time to everybody I talk to. I am not qualified. They ask me, do I have a good landing
page? Chris, I lost.
And I say, I'm not qualified.
I lost a prospect this week. Very sad situation.
Yeah.
For him, not for me.
For him. Nice.
For him, not for me. I'll move on. Trust me. We'll talk about it. Don't worry about me. I got clients.
He'll be
don't
ruined.
Worry about me. He's the one missing out. So, but listen to how heavy this psychology is with landing pages, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talk to this advertiser. He likes my stuff. He says I'm charging half of what the other guy he's talking to is charging.
Nice.
That's what he tells me.
Yeah.
And I'm able to break down his industry, his situation, and basically prove to him that like everything will work great and this is the way it works and trust me, it's going to work. And like,
yep.
If it doesn't, in the rare case, which it's not going to not work, but if it does, I have a very like try me out kind of system.
Yeah, sure.
Low risk, high reward for him.
Yeah.
And so the basic point is I know more than the other person he was talking to about Google Ads. I specialize in Google Ads and my prices were half of what the other person was charging. And it sounded very promising as we talked for a long time on the phone. Then he gets back to me in a couple days. I decided to go another direction with my advertising.
Mm.
You know what happened on that call? I was rolling. And then I go, and I think your site's great. We can put tracking on the site. I think it's going to perform awesome, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, no, I've got landing pages being built out. I've got them being built out at the moment.
Okay.
And then instead of my super persuasion 2020 mindset, where I just take that and jujitsu him into a pretzel roll until he's choking on his own feces and giving me all the money in his life.
Good Lord.
Instead of doing that and agreeing and pacing and leading him and going, oh, landing pages, that is where it's at. Like, you got to love landing pages. I'm so glad to hear you're doing that. And we'll test what you've got and we'll continue to make it better and better. I went into the honest person everybody loves from the Paid Search podcast. And I said, landing pages, like, what are you doing, dummy? Like, why are you wasting your money getting these built out? We could be starting today. I didn't say that, of course, but I was like, hey, okay, well, a lot of our clients, most of them don't usually use landing pages. I think your website's great. I think people are going to see that they were taken to exactly what they were searching for. You got a ton of great information about yourself and your company. And then very clear calls to action. Fill out this form, call this number here. And then I realized he wasn't having that at all.
Wow.
And he thought his website was horrible. What? And he's convinced himself, based on the literature out there and the marketing, the brand awareness.
Right.
Say that doesn't work again, Chris. Right. The brand awareness.
That's true.
And he's like, he doesn't think his website's going to work. So he's putting time and money. Not only is he putting time and money into a landing page system and all that, or person. And you know how that works, Chris.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be doing those for yourself. It's another to be working with a person and have another party in there. Not only did he do that to himself, he missed out on the absolute second greatest Google Ads manager on the planet who could have done the second greatest job ever for him. Me.
Second?
Because you're number one, Chris.
Oh,
and I always
goodness.
Respect that. And I always look up to you.
You have the trophy.
That's basically
you literally have the trophy in your room. So
yeah, but who gave me the trophy to make me feel
Google
good?
Did.
You did. You're not
Google gave that to you.
No, you did, Chris. No, you did because you're the absolute greatest Google Ads manager on the planet. That's basically what our Patreon Facebook group has turned into. It's just people making posts like, on this episode, Chris referenced an idea that Chris had referenced in the past. Does anybody know the exact moment where Chris first referenced this great idea that Chris came up with?
I never really thought about that. They do post that.
So Chris,
that
you're the greatest. And this guy could have had the second greatest Google Ads manager on the planet. And he could have had me for half the price of the other idiot
right,
that he's
right.
ended up hiring.
Right.
But he missed out on me. He actively chose not to go with me because I said something somewhat not extremely overly positive about landing pages. I said something in the other direction, just a smidge, just a little bit,
oh,
okay?
Man.
And he thinks, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. So my point is, I agree with you. I'm not into this landing page thing, Chris. I'm really not. And here, again, it's not about violence. It's about verbal violence, okay? And it's about feeling that violence. Everybody that's listening right now that's drinking this Kool-Aid on all this stuff, probably 90% of them are going to continue drinking the Kool-Aid, but there's going to be 10% of them listening right now that are having an awakening. And if you feel like you're opening to that awakening, I'm talking to you right now. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. You think you can't run ads to a website. You think there's no chance a website will work. You have to invest time and money in landing pages.
You think that your quality score is suffering because you don't have a dedicated page for every different ad group. If that's you, listen.
There should be no difference between a landing page and a website. A website, a business website that wants to get leads, phone calls, and forms for that business, a service business website should be a lead generating collection of landing pages. Some people like Chris and I call a collection of landing pages
a website.
Websites.
That's beautiful.
Other people think there's a difference. I think that deserves,
oh my gosh,
a new drink. I'm going to go get that, it. I want you to follow up and explain to the 10% of people that had an awakening, carry them through to the other side. Tell them what we mean by that.
I love that phrase. Yeah, like a website is a collection of focus. I don't remember what he said exactly, how he said it. I'll have to get him to repeat it. But I think that's a great point, because what a website consists of typically is a services page and a product page, or you know, services available, industries, things like that. So essentially a landing page already has those. And unless you're trying to niche down and find some really specific subcategory industry, you know, you want to serve ads to that, you're pretty much going to have a page for every ad group that you would want to serve to. If you provide mowing services or lawn care or landscaping, you're going to have the different types of things, paving stones, you're going to have stuff about mowing, you're going to have stuff about gutters and landscaping and, you know, spring cleaning, stuff like that. You're going to have pages for that. So I think it's perfectly said and stated that a website is a self-contained collection of beautiful landing pages. And that's
Chris,
all
when
you
I,
need.
When I was lonely in a Las Vegas extended living apartment.
What?
4 years ago, naked on the floor.
Wow.
And I was trying the landing pages and going down that road. And I was a broken person thinking that was a way to go. You know what I found myself doing over and over, Chris?
I don't want to know.
Making mini websites. Well, do you know what I was doing before 5 p.m.? I found myself making a collection of landing pages on one page, and I was basically making mini websites that were just optimized in a landing page way with a big call to action and a form and a phone number and all that. And I was like, okay, if someone comes to my page, but then they want to read more about the company before they convert and actually know who they're giving their email address to. Oh, does anybody think about that these days? No, I don't know. Some people do. I do.
Yeah.
You know, when you fill out your form, you're giving an email address to someone. Yeah. You're giving your phone number. I think people think about that, Chris. So I want to know who I'm doing that with. If they're legitimate or not, I like to read an about page. So then I would create like an about page, put a little link at the top that says about, like a menu on a website, and then have the about page with that information, but with a nice lead form and a nice phone number. So to me, they've always been a hyper optimized landing page versus a website that's slow and doesn't have a form and the phone number's at the footer and it's hard to see and it's a light gray and the footer's a dark gray and it's blended in. Obviously, it's going to perform better. But I don't know how anybody can tell me a website that is very set up for lead generation with forms and a phone number,
content,
just like landing pages.
Lots of content, pictures.
And content. Well, combined with content. Yeah, content and all that. How can multiple pages on a site with tons of information, different information for different users. They can flip around. How could that ever be worse than having one page of that?
I have your, here it is. This is why people listen to the show. You ready? I'm going to drop the bomb. Okay, I'm going to drop it up from here. Listen close. This is why landing pages are so popular and so many people are brainwashed. It's because agencies, companies, freelancers, marketing channels, whatever, whoever's selling this stuff, like landing pages. You know why? Because they get credit for every lead, and leads do not leak through. They don't perform better.
Oh, nice.
They
nice.
Don't perform.
I thought you were going to say money, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's because they get credit for those leads. If they send them to your website, you'll still get that phone call, but the marketing agency won't be able to tick it off and say, look, we got you that lead. That was us. I would say that people convert better on a website, but the problem is you can't lock down a website's lead sources as well as you can a landing page. And that's why they push it. That's why they push it.
And another thing, Chris, if I'm engaging with a moving company and I go to their website, before I call in, before I fill out their lead form, I might click that Facebook button and go over to their Facebook page and see if they have reviews there, see if they have photos of real movers and real trucks and all that, and see if I deem it's a legitimate company. And then while I'm on the Facebook page, I might go ahead and just call the number that I see on the Facebook page or chat on Facebook.
And they lost that
and
lead.
You're right. The Google Ads Manager does not get the credit for that lead, but it was a better experience from a customer perspective versus a landing page where the Google Ads Manager took the Facebook button off because he doesn't want people leaving that page.
Yeah.
So I think we're in agreement that a good website is usually will preferable. Be better than a landing page.
Absolutely preferable.
Preferable. And we'll do it. We'll do that to spite ourselves. We'll understand that our conversion rates in the Google Ads account, our conversions will go down. But we have the ability to communicate to our clients without pepper spray, without hitting them, that there will be leads that we can't track. So, Chris, we're in agreement about that. Now, here's where it might get a little iffy. Here's my point about perfection, okay? The perfect Google Ads account. Again, if I get into an account and they say, we've got the perfect Google Ads account, I go, are you continually testing your landing pages or website? Now, 99% of people probably aren't doing that.
No.
But that is perfection.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's realistic. I'm not saying that it's feasible for $1,000 a month or $5,000 a month campaign. I'm not even saying that it's super necessary. Love that term, by the way. Some people will know what I'm talking about. It's got a little bit to do with, I am not impressed with your performance, but it's about 12 years in the future, and it's about a five-second knockout, and it was super necessary, the two punches after the knockout. Some people said it wasn't. Someone else said, that's my job. It was super necessary. I go until the ref stops me. Is he going to fight Kamaru Usman? Is he going to fight... Wow. Conor McGregor, we don't really know. Chris doesn't know at all, but the people out there that do know, that do like to send us messages on Facebook, Chris, they sent us the video of George St. Pierre saying, I'm not impressed with your performance, to give us some context. So it was super necessary. And it's not super necessary to do continually testing of your landing pages or website. And let's just call it website from now on, Chris. The landing page is on your website.
Oh, I love
it's
that.
It's not super necessary.
It's beautiful.
To,
yeah. The landing page is on your website. I mean, I just... It's like,
isn't that like the most passive aggressive thing I've ever come up with?
Oh, you have landing pages on your website? Perfect. It's just like the giant like F you to everybody who's like, oh, I do landing pages. In addition to the landing pages on your website, great. So you have two sets of landing pages.
Adam Carolla, Chris, he talks about FU money, where you're so rich you can tell people like FU because you don't care. Mm-hmm. And then the level above that is F me money. I'm so rich I can screw myself. And so when I deal with this client, this potential client, and he starts talking about landing pages, and then I get into an episode of the Paid Search Podcast on the phone with him about another great debate with him, and he doesn't know he's in a great debate, and I'm just not going along with it. That's kind of effing myself.
Money.
But I don't know. I'm a purist, you know? Like, I just can't accept that we can't get good results. And again, it's not the bad websites. It's this guy had a great website.
It's the good website. Your crap website.
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation. If you have a crap website that loads slow and looks horrible, no call to action, horrible pages, horrible content, that's a different conversation. We're talking about good websites.
Now, Chris, it's not super necessary to do this, but it is perfection. Continually testing the landing pages on your website, running experiments and going, okay, what if the phone number was this color? What if the lead form was on the left side versus the right side? It's not super necessary, but I do think it is a best practice. And some of it is just creating new pages on your site. Like, okay, we've got two services. One, they both go to the same page. The page is 80% about this one service, 20% about the other service. What if we created another blog page or another service page that was about the 20% service exclusively, and then we sent traffic to that? That's what I'm talking about in terms of always kind of testing and growing, and I do think there's a place for that, and it can improve performance. So in terms of perfection, that's how you do landing pages, websites, perfect. You're always looking to make the page or new pages more relevant, and you're also looking to just test out different things and try them out and see if they perform well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before we wrap this up with one last topic, I want to remind you guys, if you haven't tried it out, opto.com/PSP2. Special offer. I think it's a limited time, so take advantage of it now. You're in a crisis. Everyone's in a crisis. It's time to get real. It's time to get more out of your Google Ads. 2-month free trial. All those other guys who haven't discovered the paid search podcast only get 1 month. You get 2 because you're special, and this is a tool to help you get things done faster. These are AdWords people. These are people designing tools to help you get things done quickly. The repetitive tasks, they're not automating these tasks. They're not going to do these things for you, right? They realize the value of the human mind that can make decisions. You can choose the best keywords. These tools are there to make it more efficient, make them better, get you to do it faster and more efficiently and consistently, right? You got people in your company that you're training. How? What do? You print them out a PDF spreadsheet and give them a pencil and say, go through all these things. How do you know they're doing it? How do you know that they're going through everything properly? This is a great tool for those employees that, you know, they might be drinking too much of the Kool-Aid. You know, they think they know what they're doing, but do they really? Opto.com/PSP2 to get your 2-month free trial.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to thank Kyle Solarud and his podcast, Google Ad Strategy with Kyle Solarud. Go to your podcast player right now. Search Google Ad Strategy. You'll see his podcast. Subscribe today. It is exactly the kind of content you all are looking for. He is deep into Google Ads, and he creates podcast topics, podcast episodes for hardcore Google Ads advertisers and professionals. I'm looking at some of the recent topics on his site, googleadstrategy.com. Am I bidding against myself? I hear that all the time from Google Ads advertisers. How can I get started with Google Ads for e-commerce? I love this one. When will manual campaign optimization become counterproductive? I will be letter writing after I listen to that episode, Chris. If I don't like what I hear, I will be writing in a letter saying, Kyle, I think manual bids are going to be there forever, and I love them. I love manual bids, Chris. And then, of course, what's going on now? How is coronavirus affecting Google Ads? So they're super relevant topics. They're in very digestible amounts of time. And then also, every now and then, he brings in an expert, and he interviews them for a little longer format, so you get a good mix of both. Go to your podcast player right now, search Google Ads Strategy, and subscribe to Google Ads Strategy with Kyle Solarud today. So Chris, we're going to wrap up here with recommendations quickly. And then we have a couple ones in Patreon that we'll preview. But so with recommendations, Chris, I'm kind of getting the feel out there that this is something important that we should pay attention to. Now, my little theory, and the reason I say that, Chris, is because it's in the account recommendations. You get all the notifications about it. You know where else it is? It's in the columns, bro. I made a new campaign the other day with like default columns. They have a column for like optimization score. And then I'm pretty sure it has a little link if you're under 100% or whatever, and it tells you what you can improve on. So the fact that they're pushing it this hard tells me they want us to do it. And so
you think?
I had a theory that it had to do with quality score, and the higher your optimization score, the better your quality score would be. I click on the support documentation about that. It explicitly says optimization score will not help quality score. I've run that by other professionals, and they were skeptical about that, and they kind of picked apart the wording, and they were like, they weren't necessarily thinking that it is totally unrelated to quality score if you look at it from a different kind of angle. So here's my overall point with recommendations and a perfect Google Ads account. If you disagree with a recommendation, and there have been recommendations where I see it and I'm like, no, that would actually really hurt my performance, I'm not going to do it, just dismiss it and move on. But if you can agree with the recommendation, like one of them was like, these keywords don't get volume, they're cluttering up your account, take them out. I look at that and I'm like, well, it's my account. They're not cluttering it up for me. I'm managing it fine. But you know what? If that's a recommendation I'm getting and it's not going to hurt my performance,
yeah,
I'll play ball. And so the reason I'm playing ball with those recommendations that I don't think are going to hurt my performance is they're pushing it so hard that I think it's got to do something, you would think. I don't know what that is. They're saying it's not quality score, but it doesn't hurt to kind of play ball and go in the right direction. That's my theory on recommendations, Chris. And that's the way it ties in with a perfect Google Ads account. If you're perfect, you probably shouldn't get in there and see like 50%, 60%. Should be close to 100%. And if you've got some differences with the recommendations, just dismiss those ones and carry on. But how do you feel about recommendations? And do you think I've struck a nice kind of middle ground for professionals to follow?
Yeah, and I like it. I'm fine with it. I think some recommendations are good. Some are absolutely not things I'm going to do. I don't care how many times it pops up and how many alerts I get. I'm not going to do it. So use those at your discretion based on your own knowledge. You know that we're not big fans of just automating everything. Humans are smarter than computers because we can make better judgments. And in the end, yeah, I think that's fine. Just to put a little bit more of an idea on, you know, what a recommendation score might look like. I mean, I'm perfectly happy if I'm sitting in the 70 or 80 range. I don't want to. If I'm at the 100, I feel like I've done something wrong. Like I'm
Poppy, listen to me here. Daddy, listen to
okay.
me.
Okay.
You like that?
No.
When I call you that?
No.
Is that a new thing I can
nope.
do? Okay. Just trying it out. Okay. I tried Christopher last week. This week I tried Daddy. Okay.
Getting worse.
I'll try next week. I'll keep trying. Getting colder. Yeah. Getting colder.
Wrong way.
I dismissed some recommendations recently, and I accepted some recommendations. And my campaign is showing at 100%. So wow. If you dismiss, you cannot miss if you dismiss, because you might get up to 100%, possibly. I might be wrong about that. I might have been so close to 100 that they just gave it to me because I did some recommendations. But I'm not pretty sure, but I have a theory that if you dismiss and take the time to at least review them, they don't count against you because they're no longer sitting there. So it's just something to think about. It's just a theory.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, we have two more topics we're going to talk about on the Patreon. It's super affordable if you're not there. Plus, you get to hear about these super interesting topics about a little more detail into the business of Google Ads and a little more candid discussions about that. Plus, you get to be a part of the super exclusive, amazing Cigar Lounge that is our Facebook group, where we just get on there and everyone gets naked. And it's amazing. Everyone shares all kinds of details that you would never share publicly. And we all hold each other and cry around, you know, basically early 2020. That's what we've been doing, holding each other and crying. If you want to be a part of that, $2 a month or four bucks a month for the video edition of the Patreon. So thanks for being here. Thanks for subscribing. We will be back Thursday with a Q&A.